couple more on our list today. And you might be thinking about that prayer request. We'll go ahead and get those started early today. And I want to remember a couple of people for sure, and trying to put them into the chat window. Ran out of time on a couple of them, so I'll give you their names and information in just a minute. But so glad that you could join us today. I see that we have several of our fellow Bible students that join us regularly that are here, and I know others will be joining us as well. Open Mic Friday means that our listeners get to determine and our Bible students get to determine the direction of the program. And what we mean by that is there are questions and that people have, and we always allow Friday for that time. And you can send those in to rickpopejoy@gmail.com. Once again, that is Rick Popejoy, RickPopeJoy @gmail.com. You can send them to the phone number that is listed for us each day. That is 405-428-2440. Once again, that is 405-428-2440. You can also send them through the chat window, and we will certainly take our questions on the spur of the moment. Some of them we put in a box for next Friday, but the questions that we have reserved for today, that is those that oftentimes we have questions that are pre-submitted. In fact, I have a list of questions that we certainly want to get to. All of the questions this week revolve around our series of lessons that we've had over the last two, maybe 3 weeks, dealing with the topic of wisdom. And so we want to wrap our minds around the Q&A with regards to the questions. So let's see here. What else do I need to make sure that we... Sometimes I have to remind myself. I get wrapped up into what I'm doing, and I forget some of the more simple things of the radio broadcast, such as a simple invitation that if you're ever in the Nesbitt, Mississippi area, that you would come by and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road in Nesbitt, Mississippi at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning for our Bible study. We meet at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Now, in just a little over a month, we're going to have a very special event here at the, of course, every worship service and every Bible study is certainly a special event, but we have invited in Brother Mike Bonner to come and join us at the Nesbitt Church of Christ for a series of gospel sermons on the eternal nature of truth, the eternal nature of truth, and he's going to be here May the 2nd through the 5th, and we are looking forward to having our beloved brother with us that week. 1 month to the day following that, June the 2nd through the 6th, will be a series of lessons and a conference at the BCS Church of Christ there in College Station. The Men's Development Conference will be held there during those dates, and this thing is growing and growing and growing. And so if you want to get registered early, I would suggest you go ahead and do that. Help them out in the preparation of the meals, in the lodging. The sooner you get there, the sooner they can make everything for you. We are going to try to video and live stream the messages by Brother Bonner. But if you can be here in person, we would certainly rather have that in mind. And so, but the lessons will be, or can be hijacked, I guess you could say, up here on the YouTube studio. And so we'd be grateful for you to be with us in that fashion. Let's see here. What else do we have? I can't think of anything else. We do have a large list of prayer requests today, and I see that Sister Tina has said that her mother is in the hospital for an infection in her leg, and we certainly want to keep her in our prayers. The other individual that I wanted to keep in your prayers is a young brother in Christ. He is in high school. He's one of the friends of the oldest Stubblefield boy, who's a good friend of mine, but Colt Davidson. He had a skiing accident the other day. I told you about Sister Charity. She had an accident, hurt her knees. Hers were not life-threatening. But about 30 minutes after they had taken Miss Charity to the hospital, Davidson, I think, ran into a tree, lost control of his skis, it says, and off a mountain straight into a tree. And so he was metaflighted to Albuquerque to the trauma center, and was unresponsive, multiple broken bones, brain bleed. He is in critical condition, and we certainly want to keep him and that family from the Oklahoma City area in our prayers as well. And so, and all of those that are there are traumatized to some extent as well, and so we want to keep them in our prayers as well. All right, while we are preparing for those things, I want to go ahead and have we're going to play "Hear Our Prayer, O Lord," and while that is praying, if you are playing and we are singing along, if you know the words, then you're welcome to sing along. If I sing along, then you're going to have to listen to me. But certainly we want to do that. Sister Woodall mentions her family and the elderly congregation that she's attending, says they have about six members, and we certainly want to keep them in our prayers. The struggle of small congregations to grow is always difficult. Once you get to a certain level, maybe about 60 or 70, then you reach a point in time in which visitors, when they come, are more comfortable to stay. And so I certainly understand the struggle that needs to be prayed for under those conditions. So let's be encouraged by this beautiful song.
Hear our prayers, O Lord.
Hear our prayers, O Lord.
We pray. Please accept our praise as we've come. Serve you, Lord. serve you as you please. Hear our prayer, O Lord, our prayer.
All right, my friends, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you would stoop so low as to intertwine thyself and fellowship with humanity. The fact that you would send your Son, Jesus Christ, to be brutalized upon the cross demonstrates how powerful thy love is for humanity. And we pray, our Heavenly Father, that as you take notice of our prayer request and our intercessions and supplications this day, that you would do so as we know that thou wilt, with attentive nature to our cries and our thoughts. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of the spiritual difficulties of this life, the fact that this world has aligned itself, not just recently, but for many years against thee. And this nation, which once sought thy favor, now seeks to destroy any relationship that it has with thee. Father, we know that there are many individuals around the world, religious individuals, just for doing what thou hast commanded, have been placed in jail, and they have been brutalized and ridiculed. And we see those things coming around the corner unless things change here in our own good nation. But we pray, our Heavenly Father, that you would help those who are in leadership, that you would help us to be able to strengthen the hands of those that are doing good, that they might continue to do good, and that it might influence those in this world. We're thankful, our Heavenly Father, for the process of prayer. We know that you listen to our cries, and we have many things to bring before thee this day. We know that our good brother Alex will be traveling back home to the state of Washington today, we know that that is a long journey. We desire, our Heavenly Father, that you would grant him all of the traveling mercies, that he might travel safely, and that he might, when he arrives, be a benefit and a blessing to those that are around him, as he has been to us here. We're mindful, our Heavenly Father, of Sister Tina's mother, who is in the hospital, and we pray for her, and we pray for that family. We pray for them to have strength throughout this, and that those things that would trouble her might be taken out of the way, that the doctors and the caregivers and the nurses might do their job to due diligence, so that they might be able to help her recover. We're mindful also of Sister Charity, as she has suffered knee injuries while skiing. And we realize that although not life-threatening, is certainly from a young mother's perspective, that having good access to be able to get around is an important thing. And we pray for her, and we pray for Brother Brandt and the work that they do in the kingdom. We're mindful of young Mr. Davidson, who had the skiing accident, who is in Albuquerque, and who is in serious critical condition. We pray for his family as they travel there to be with him, and for all of those that are nearby to give him comfort and aid. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that young Mr. Davidson might come through this, that he might that his body and that his brain might grow stronger, and that the doctors and those that are caring to him might do so to his benefit. Father, whatever the outcome might be in any situation, we pray that our strength and our resolve might always be to thy glory, And we pray that even when things do not work out as we would like and as they are not, we pray, our Heavenly Father, for the resolve to be able to handle the situations in life after a godly fashion. We're mindful of Sister Woodall and the congregation that she has found up there in Wisconsin, and we pray for that congregation that it might have a good foundation in faith, that it might continue to grow in grace and knowledge, and that it might continue to grow in number as well. We pray that many people might be benefited by thy word throughout the world. Father, we know that there are many other individuals that are on our prayer list, and we pray for them. I pray that I have not missed any on our list, but if so, my humble apologies, but we pray for all of those individuals, and we ask thy tender mercy upon them. Father, we pray at this time that thou would grant us an inquisitive mind, a mind that asks questions, and a mind that seeks and searches after diligently the answers that are found in thy word. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you might give us wisdom to know the answers when we find them, and the resolve to be able to live by them as we continue. And so be with us, our Heavenly Father, as we go throughout this time together. We are so blessed to be able to enjoy company with thee through the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and our obedience to the gospel. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. All right. We have several questions on our agenda today, and it's always good to have. I see that Brother Hoekstra has joined us, and always good to have him. Sometimes he might linger behind the scenes, and I don't know, but it's always good to have everyone with us, and we pray a good study for us today. All right, now I've listed up in the beginning of this about five questions. They all somehow revolve around the topic of wisdom and how wisdom should be exercised in our life. These are actually some things that we did not get to in our series of studies, even though we had eleven or twelve lessons on wisdom and the pillars of wisdom. We were not able to get to these questions, but these are, I think, excellent questions for us to consider. Now, the first question, I don't know if I'll deal with these in the order in which I listed them, the first one was, why should I wholeheartedly pursue wisdom? You know, when you think about a world today in which people really don't give a 100% effort, a diligent effort to things, that most of the things in life we just kind of, at times you see people that just kind of, they just slide by, right? I mean, it's okay if I get to it, and it's okay if I don't, and there's really no diligence in the heart of some people, especially on spiritual matters. You see this in the world all the time when you try to talk to someone, maybe a friend, a coworker, an acquaintance of yours, somebody that you know just out in the community, and they're just really not interested in spiritual matters. Now, I understand the question deals with wisdom. That is, why should I pursue it wholeheartedly? But if you remember, the definition of wisdom is to put everything to its divine objective, then, and especially from a practical application, then you can see that if I'm not interested in God, that I really cannot be interested in the value of wisdom in my life. In fact, I would suggest that a man who chooses to live without God, who chooses to live without the Bible and without Jesus Christ, is a man who lacks the greatest core element of wisdom. And it's hard to be able to take someone seriously. I don't mean that their life is a joke. I mean, it's hard to take them seriously that they desire wisdom when the very essence of wisdom is out of their vision. And so why should I pursue wisdom? Well, we've talked about the seven pillars, and I don't want to go back over that. So I just want to remind you of a couple of things here. First of all, the wise man Solomon says to us in Proverbs 4 in verse number 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And so certainly the wise man, Solomon himself, would say unto his children and to us by inspiration that wisdom is the principal thing. It's the foundation of everything in life. The reason why some people's lives are always messed up is because they do not have the principal thing. It's kind of hard to build a house without a foundation. See, wisdom hath builded her house, but she hewned out seven pillars, 9:1, but she built it on the foundation, right? That's absolutely essential. And yes, Sister Woodall makes an excellent point here. And by the way, you must have been reading my mind, because it's the next point in my thought process here, that the fear of God and the keeping of His commandments is the whole duty, King James says, but the whole of man. And so notice here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 7. So why should I wholeheartedly pursue wisdom? Because it says here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. So I should pursue it because the fear of the Lord, and that is, and if you add Ecclesiastes 14, then verse number 13, then you also have the keeping of His commandments as a part of that. But if you pursue it, listen to chapter 2 of the book of Proverbs. I've mentioned this before, but notice what he says. My son, if thou will receive my commandments and my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou shalt incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thy heart unto understanding. If thou criest after her with knowledge and liftest up her voice with understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it is also the end result of wisdom as well. And so why should I seek, or why should I wholeheartedly pursue after wisdom? Because it's the principal thing. It's the foundation of what life is all about. You know, if we were to ask, why am I here? I would suggest to get wisdom would be a good understanding. Look at Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So every, you know, we talk about, listen, every man wants to have a good life. And we realize that there's a financial aspect to that, right? Rubies represents the financial aspect to that. We could just as well say that wisdom is far better than being a billionaire today. It's far better than anything that one's heart could desire. You could say whatever it is, and wisdom would still be more precious than that. Now, some of the reasons behind that, that we need wisdom, well, we need wisdom to know and to love God. That's the first and foremost thing in our relationship. Wisdom helps us to discern the truth and to make application of the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Wisdom, we need wisdom to do God's will, do we not? The proper application, as we have stressed, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul would say, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you, notice here, present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. something that I have reasoned out. So wisdom, right? Notice, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Wisdom is all a part of the activity of doing, of putting God's word into our life. And by the way, you have to give up your life to have a better life. Sister Woodall makes mention of that. That is absolutely correct. So I'm going to sacrifice something in order to gain something that is going to be so much more beneficial. If you want to unlock all of the vault of God's treasures, then you do that by wisdom. I love Colossians 2 and verse number 3, where it says, speaking of Jesus Christ, God the Father, in whom are hid all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, these are just some of the reasons to make the right choices in life. You know, not everything is a choice between good and evil. Not every decision that you make revolves around right or wrong. Sometimes the decision is between good, better, and best. Well, with good, better, and best, I want to choose that which is the best, right? I don't want to, if I have the choice, but now wisdom will tell me which one of those it is, right? Look with me at Proverbs 11 and verse number 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. And the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Notice that there are some things that are better, and there are some things that are safer. There are some things that are more important in life. And so why should I wholeheartedly pursue wisdom? I would suggest wisdom is the principal thing. Well, I didn't make that up on my own. That's Proverbs 4 and verse number 7. The second question is, and I like this question. To me, it's an interesting one. What do I do when I don't know what to do? Now, some would say, well, you can't do anything if you don't know what to do. Well, think about that question just for a second. What do I do when I don't know what to do? How many times have you sat down and you have said to yourself, wait a minute here, I don't know the direction I need to go. You have a decision to make and you don't know the decision. Now, some of those decisions are much harder than others, right? Sometimes it's just a choice between two different things. You go to a car dealership and he offers you a choice between two different cars. Not a lot of money difference, but he offers you that. So which one? When you're going out, do you choose a Ford, a Chevy, a Toyota, a Dodge, whatever? What do you choose? Those are not right and wrong choices. Well, a Ford would be the right one. But regardless, it's not really a right or wrong thing here in regards to that. So wisdom will help me make and take away some of the clouded area here. So the more I know and the more I'm able to make application is very important. And we've gotten some good comments by our Bible students in the chat window. Pray, study, do the right thing, research the truths. I pray and don't be hasty. Those are all excellent things. And in fact, prayer is one of the things that we ought always to engage in. We ought to pray without ceasing, right, is one of the items that we always ought to engage in. But now think about the wise man James. The proverb of the New Testament, or the Solomon of the New Testament, he says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given to him. Now, it's not just piped in. You don't just go to sleep and God puts a little thing in your ear and he siphons down in your head wisdom. It doesn't work like that. It's not just magically poof, and you are the wisest man on the face of the earth. Doesn't work that way. But there's a process that we go through. Prayer is certainly one. Anything that we lack, we have the ability to bring our intercessions, our supplications before God. And so prayer is certainly one of those items that we should list. But I want you to notice with me in the book of Proverbs and Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5. Notice what he says here, Proverbs 1 and verse number 5. He says, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. So what should we do when we don't know what to do? Well, you should never do anything that you don't know whether or not it is right or wrong, right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 21, it says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Notice, pay attention to the order. Prove it first, then do it. So if you don't know what to do, don't do something, right? That's where the don't be hasty comes in, right? If you don't know what to do and it involves right and wrong, then don't do it. And by the way, that's probably a pretty good item in regards to any activity of life. Just don't engage in it until you know. So research becomes important, doesn't it? See, a wise man will hear. See, he's doing research, he's asking, he's inquiring, he's getting all the information that he can, and then he's going to put it into activity, right? Well, why should I buy this vehicle over this vehicle? I realize sometimes it's aesthetic, I like it, it looks good, but there's more to a vehicle than just looks. I want to know about its dependability. I want to know if in a year, if I'm going to spend, say, $30,000 on a vehicle or more, then I want to make sure that it goes more than just a year. I mean, that's a lot of money for a year's worth of activity. So I'm going to research durability. I'm going to research what it's going to take to fix. You know, some vehicles are more expensive to fix than others. And I'm going to pay attention to the details. You know, it's interesting. When my son was looking at the military, we went into the Army guy, we went into the Marines, we went into the Navy, we went into the Air Force, and it's interesting. All of them had their pros that they presented. But what was interesting is if you ask a Navy guy why he didn't go into the Air Force, now you get a little dirt, you could say, or a little, I don't want to be in because of this. And so you're gathering information for that. So what to do when you don't know what to do? Well, pay attention and study before you do it. Notice with me Proverbs 9 and verse number 9. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So I need to listen, and I need to learn, right? That will help me to be wiser and to make a wiser decision, right? I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 119 and verse 98 and following. Notice what he says here. Psalm 119, 98. He says, Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever before me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I have kept thy precepts. So there's a lot of information that's out there in the world. Well, you can get a PhD in any kind of information that you want to. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. But if you want to be wiser, then stick with the Word of God. That will make you wiser than all of the ancients put together. I love 1 Chronicles 12 and verse number 32, where it talks about the men of Issachar having an understanding of the times. What a gift that they had in that they could now direct the children of Israel in the way that they should go. You know, I don't think I ever put two and two together, but the other day, brother Andrew Wynn was having a series of lessons dealing with the scheme of redemption. Now, we're already on the New Testament now, but so this was several weeks ago. But he just briefly mentioned a couple of individuals in Genesis 49 and the wisdom of Jacob and the prophecy that he makes about each one of them. And so I began to just kind of look down through there. But you know what he says of Issachar? Now, we didn't go over this in class, and I kind of wish we had of, but in Genesis 49 and verse number 14, it says, Issachar is a strong donkey couching down between two burdens. And I thought, that's interesting. What in the world would, what does that mean? Well, if you travel over to 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, you see what that means. Here's the times, here's Israel, here's the burden. What shall we do? Now, it's not the only time, but certainly this is a prophecy in relationship to that. Understanding the times is very, very important in regards to that. So what can I do when I don't know what to do? Well, number one, don't do anything yet. Pray, research, listen, and study. Those are things in any area. Those are things that you need to do. And so I actually enjoyed studying for this particular question, maybe more than, I hate to say more than all the rest, but if I was being honest, I would say this study has helped me more than, say, the others in regards to that, although I appreciated each one of the questions. Now, the fourth question is, and I realize we're skipping number three, I'll come back to it, but the fourth question is, what makes a great nation? You know, we have this conversation, make America great again, build it back better, all of those logos, slogans that are going on. You know, when I first started Reflections, I don't know how many, 8 years ago, 6 years ago, seven, I can't tell you when exactly it was, but it's a long time ago. And I remember that one of the days I devoted, I think it was Thursday, to what America really needs. Now, in the original design, it was designed so that I could spend every Thursday dealing with the relationship of the Word of God to our nation and our national commentary. And I wanted to be a voice in regards to the Word of God to our community, whether or not it be local or national or international. And so what does America really need, or what makes America great? And I like that, Sister Woodall. You put it down concisely, under God we trust. But we don't trust God, and we have not submitted under God, submitted to God in His sovereignty. Now, He is sovereign whether or not we submit to the sovereignty or not. And so what does make America great? Let me give you, and these are things I used to go over quite often. I'm thinking about getting back to that. I do believe that we definitely need this discussion today. But let me give you six things that America needs. And I believe these are fundamental. You're talking about the seven pillars. Here are six pillars of building back America better, or making America great. However you want to look at that, these are six pillars in relationship to that. Number one, America needs a strong national identity. If you don't know who you are, you cannot do anything great. And by the way, this stems from Daniel 11 and 32. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you don't know who you are, at one point America was very clear at who we were. We were a sovereign nation under the sovereignty of God. So a national identity. You know, we can't even determine whether or not something is male or female in our society today. And so we've lost our identity, and we've got to gain that back. We've got to rediscover who we are. And that is not easily done. But the first pillar, we might say, if we're looking at pillars, is that America needs a strong national identity. We are split. And it's not just Democrats and Republicans. It's not just rich and poor. It's not just black and white. But we don't know. Ask people, what is America? And they can't tell you. Now, number two, we need a strong national ethic. In order to know who you are, you have to know what your ethic is. You have to know what your values are. Do we have a standard of morality? Do we have a standard in this life at all on any things? Do we have a standard of justice in our justice system? Do we have a standard in relationship to the making of laws in Congress and so forth? We must have a national ethic. Some things have to be right. Some things have to be wrong. That means that we have to know what the standard is. Where do we build our standard? And by the way, I have a whole series of lessons dealing with this. Sister Woodall mentions law, but laws can be changed. What was right one time can be wrong at another time. So how do we judge the foundation of law? Legalist Blackstone certainly argued that any law could only be morally charged over people if it had a biblical foundation. So the Genesis foundation of law was where we started from. Now we've exited that. Now we have case law and so forth. And so we don't have much of a strong national ethic. That is in a deterioration mode. And so the pillar is crumbling on our identity. The pillar is crumbling on our ethic. Number three, and I can't spend too much time on these or we'll run out of time. But number three is we must have a strong national security. So we have identity, ethic, and security. Now, a part of the security system is a understanding sovereignty, okay? And understanding sovereignty, for example, God gave and promised to Abraham that he would make a great nation out of him. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a nation? Not just any nation. What does that mean? Well, you have to have a law, you have to have a people, and you have to have borders. You have to have a land. And there's a borders around those. This discussion that we're having about illegal immigration and the borders is an important discussion around our sovereignty. Now, you might say, well, I thought this was a biblical discussion. It is. Every one of these items that I'm talking about, whether it's identity or ethic or security, are all biblical principles. So God, by the way, Genesis 15 and 18 and Genesis 17 and verse number 8, told Abraham what the borders of the kingdom that he was going to grant unto him, the land of Canaan. In fact, in 15:18, it stretched from the Euphrates to the Nile. It's from Dan to Beersheba. Nine times in your Bible, from Dan to Beersheba or Beersheba is listed in your Bible. Nine times that phrase is utilized. These are These are items of security. Now, you also have to have, Israel had a military in order to take care of that. And by the way, even in the church, we have a military. We have the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. We have the panoply of God on every soldier, and we are soldiers of Christ. So these are biblical principles, but what I'm saying is these are the foundation of any society. You must have a strong national security, or you cannot have a nation. Well, America really needs, there are three things here that may seem odd, but I want to show you very quickly. We need strong national memorials. Ah, wait a minute. We've been having a fight over national memorials, right? Have you ever wondered why the border and memorials are such a big deal to the, and it's not liberals, these are individuals who are designed to the demise of America. And the sooner we realize that, the better. But what makes a nation great in regards to these things? Well, they must have national memorials. Even in Israel, they had national memorials. We have in the church a national memorial. Oh, it's not necessarily the cross, but it surrounds the cross, does it not? Every Sunday morning we gather for a memorial of partaking of the Lord's Supper, right? That is a memorial. Now, we have other things that might fit into that category, but what I just want to show you is the nation of Christ has a memorial. The nation of Israel had memorials. God has always recognized the importance of memorials to teach the next generation. Guess what happens if you don't teach the next generation? Every man rises up to do that which is wrong. And so you must have a strong national memorials. Listen, what we remember makes us stronger. This cancel culture that we're living in is designed to cancel America, not just to cancel this part or that part of America. Its design is to cancel the entirety of the American system, the greatest system that has been upon the face of the earth. I'm not talking about the church, a spiritual entity, or anything like that. I'm talking about a nation. This nation has done more. Now, it's done harm, don't get me wrong. But it has done more for the progress of godliness and good than any other nation before it. If you look at the other great worldwide nations, there were selfish interests, and they destroyed people and enslaved people. This is a freedom. Now, the next two, 5 and 6, are interrelated. We must have strong national heroes. We become what we idolize. Now, if we idolize someone, we want to be like them. And if that's Marx, then we will become Marxist, right? If it's Calvin, we will become Calvinist, right? That's the way this works. And so we have to be careful who we idolize, because we'll be, in fact, just look at who we idolize today. Pop stars, country stars, country and western singers. We idolize individuals of, and by the way, even spreading it further, people who have no common sense at all, we idolize. That ought to tell you something about us. So we must have strong national heroes. But now the flip side of that is we need to recognize strong national villains. If nobody can be a villain today, by the way, we will change what we despise. And if we don't despise Marxism, Antifa, things such as that, we will not do anything to change that culture. And so all of these six things are true. I don't care if you're talking about the spiritual nation of Christ or the physical nation of America or the physical nation of Russia or China. All of them have these six fundamental pillars. And you destroy a nation by crumbling. By the way, the psalmist said, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And that's exactly what is happening here. So I want to turn your attention to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 34. And let's notice the glue that holds all of this together. And in fact, I think we could call it the seventh pillar, or it's a part of pillar number two. And that is that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And so what makes a nation great? There you go. Righteousness exalts a nation. Living according to the principles of that which is right, doing that which is right, and holding people accountable. Is this not what Paul said? Holding people accountable for not doing right. Listen to Paul's expose on what America needs. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou wilt do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must be in subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Romans 13, verses 4 and 5. All right, well, let's see. We just got a couple minutes left, so I do want to get to at least one or two of the other questions, especially one. How can a child, and I love this question, how can a child bring joy to their parents? You know, one would say, well, that's pretty easy, isn't it? Do what they say. Well, yeah, there's something invested in that. But listen to Proverbs chapter 10. And, well, let's start with Proverbs 10 and verse number 1. Proverbs 10 and verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise man maketh a glad father, but a foolish son the heaviness of his mother. So if you want to make them glad, then it says, then a wise son will do that. Everything that we've been talking about has been wrapped around that. But let me show you the practicality of that. Proverbs 1 and verse number 10 to begin with. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Right? Consent thou not. Don't go with them. My son, he says in verse number 15, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't hang out with those individuals. Now, you might say, okay, well, let's just take that a step further. Think about the, you know, where is it? It's in Proverbs 4, I think. And we will run out of time if I can't remember. Chapter 4 and verses 3. And 4, he says, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. So Solomon got some of his great wisdom from his father David. Notice what his father David said about don't put your foot in with the wicked. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, don't go along with them. Don't get close. Now, if you're walking with them, that's one level of fellowship. If you stand with them, now you're in a much greater level of fellowship. And then if you're sitting with them, you're in a greater level of fellowship. Don't even get close. Don't put your foot in, and you won't be sitting down with. Well, there's a lot more we could say about that, but we'll have more to say about that later. So then, why is a poor yet wise child better than a foolish king? Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to save this until the last is because you're talking about a mentality that is contrary to our nation. We live in a nation of rich fools. And we want to be rich fools. We would rather be a rich fool than to be a wise poor. The poverty seems to be above anything, or just living life without any kind of recognition. Listen, I want to be fame and fortune, right? That's me. And if I don't have fame, I want fortune. If I don't have fortune, I want fame. But I want them both. And yet the wise man Solomon, right? Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3, identifies for us in that context, 3 through 5, but especially going down to verse number 5. Ecclesiastes 4:13. Let's go over here and look at this. He says, "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." You see, we live in a society that cannot be admonished. We have to be rebuked. And in fact, we've gone so far in society, we can't be admonished or rebuked anymore. And so that tells you how far we have actually gone in our communities. And so the wise man Solomon cautioned his children not to follow after this path. Proverbs, I mentioned Proverbs 15. Let's just look down at verse number 5. A fool despiseth his father's instructions, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. My friends, I want to thank you for joining me today here on Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. These questions are certainly important questions for us to consider in today's world. God bless and have a wonderful day.